Hello, hello, good evening, everyone. How are you this evening? Happy Pride. It's so exciting to see you all here in the War Memorial Opera House. How's your Pride Week been so far? Great, let's keep it going. My name is Ryan Marchand. I am the director of the San Francisco Opera Department of Engagement and Connectivity. It's my pleasure to welcome you this evening. We're all about bringing opera and the arts closer to people and connecting people to them and making sure that everyone has access. So it is my great honor and pleasure to be joined this evening by Shane Zaldívar and Suzanne Ford. Give them a round of applause. I'll start with you, Suzanne. Suzanne, you're the executive director of San Francisco Pride. How did you come into that role? What's your background? What can you tell us about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Owensboro, Kentucky. I moved to San Francisco, to the Bay Area, about 17 or 18 years ago. And about 14 years ago, I came out as a trans woman. When I came out, I wanted to get involved. I wanted to give back for all the years that I hid. And so I started doing some work on committees here in San Francisco. I held the banner at the first resistance contingent of San Francisco Pride in 2017, and I was hooked. I wanted to be part of that family. And I ran for the board that year, and in 2018, I became treasurer of San Francisco Pride, and I served on the board for about 4.5 years. In 2022, we said we're going to go back and have our first in-person Pride. And our executive director at the time, Fred Lopez, made a decision to leave. And they said, oh, you know, who's going to do it? And I foolishly was like, oh, I could do that. But that's how I got there, and I've been there. This will be my fourth Pride.
Amazing. Yes. And Shane, you were introduced to me as the pop-up drag queen. Can you tell us a little bit about your work, your artistry, and your advocacy?
Yeah, totally. Hi, everybody. Oh, can you hear me okay? Hello, hello, hello?
Almost.
Psst, 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 psst.
There we go.
Hi. So I moved out here from Florida in 2014, originally to go to school, and that school was a cannabis university.
Wait, say that again, that cut out a little bit.
It was a cannabis university. It was called Oaksterdam, and I was just like learning about it as something that was helping people and seeing it as, a pathway for something cool in the future. Like, I was activated by it, and it brought me to the Bay. And since the moment I landed in San Francisco, just diving into queer life, going to the Stud. Thank you. Seeing the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Oh, here. I've been there before. I've had a great time in San Francisco. And just like finding myself through that, you know, I was one of those kids that knew I was queer at an early age, didn't have a lot of outlets to express that with a Catholic background. So being in a place like San Francisco really blew my mind. The pop-up drag queen came about because we'll work with it. The pop-up drag queen came about because I needed to eat. I was working a retail job by the Ferry Building, and it was barely enough to survive. You know, I was one of those people who picked up bread off a trash can if it looked good enough to eat. And I was seeing people on the street doing their art to get money, and I was like, all I know how to do is drag, and I barely know how to do it, but if I come with a speaker and I do a little dance, maybe I'll make enough to get a $5 footlong. because that's what I was doing. I had a $5 foot long, one half was breakfast, the other half was dinner. So pop-up drag queen started that way, but it ended up becoming a project where I could really just express myself, be a part of San Francisco in a way that felt so right, putting drag on the streets, interacting with families, locals, tourists, and getting into myself as a trans person and as an activist for the community.
Amazing. Yes. It's a really special thing for the opera to be able to bring both of you in to speak with us and to be here with us this evening. This is our first ever inaugural Pride concert. The opera, yes. The opera has participated in Pride's past for many years since its inception, both employees of the opera, and we've had a float in the parade since about the 1980. But this is the first year that we've offered a Pride concert, and we felt we just had our centennial season, and we really have been thinking intently about what are we doing more to be more embedded in the community. Whereas last year we had a performance of Magic Flute on Pride Sunday, we're really excited to offer a Pride concert in harmony with the rest of the celebrations that are going on throughout the city. It's really important to us, and we met with Suzanne about a year ago to talk about the Pride concert and how we could do that in relationship with SF Pride. And Suzanne, you spoke very eloquently about Pride having a dual purpose this year. Can you talk a little bit about what that dual purpose is and why this moment feels important?
Sure. This year, our theme is Queer Joy is Resistance. And I was excited when the board agreed on that. Some of that had been suggested by the members. But we want to do two things this year. Of course, everyone in this audience knows that we have to stand up against the hate that the LGBTQ community is facing, especially the trans community. It's just open aggression against us. And San Francisco will stand up on Sunday morning and we'll say, not here. But the second thing, and I think tonight really is part of that, and I felt it all week everywhere I've spoken, you can just feel the joy that everybody is relieved that we still have this week. They can't take that away from us. We're still gonna look fabulous. And I've said several times, the thing that separates us is we're going to come together with joy about supporting each other and making sure that everybody has human rights. I've seen them have a little bit of joy, but it's been about taking somebody's rights. And that's not how we roll in this crowd. And being here at the opera doing that, it just, Ryan and I have been talking about this for a long time, and it just feels like to be in this beautiful setting in San Francisco and saying we're joyful to see each other. And I'm so joyful that Antonio dressed me like this and that Shane looks like this. I mean, everything else is a bonus.
You look great.
She looks great, yes. And thinking about, we've talked a lot about this theme of queer joy is resistance. And Shane, a lot of your drag is outside of institutions like the opera. You perform in places like the Ferry Building, like you just said, the Ferry Building Plaza at the Embarcadero. And as someone who really presents art in order to take up space, what does that, the notion of queer joy is resistance mean to you? Like just the visibility of being in place and taking up space, and what does that mean to you?
With pop-up drag queen in particular, it started, like I said, as just a means of making an income in the city. What I didn't realize it was going to become for me was a therapy, a practice, and excuse my language, I don't know how else to say it, but a practice in learning how to not give a fuck. People would pass me by, give me all kinds of looks or whatever. I'm putting my makeup literally on the ground at times because I don't want to lose the spot. And I know that. I know that I'm doing something that people might think is odd or different or weird. But it has brought that experience to me, which I'm so thankful for because I can apply that in other parts of my life. Other ways that project in particular has brought joy, I'll never forget the first time I was out there attempting to be like a mermaid. I had like this whole mermaid look and like, you know, the little fork for the comb and everything. And across the street was this little girl dressed as a mermaid. You know, it was just a Saturday, and that's, I'm sure she fought with her mom to make sure she could wear that day. But I saw her, she saw me, and we like made eye contact, like, yeah, yeah. And she came running over to me, and we danced like Part of Your World and Under the Sea. She was jumping around, and all the adults nearby, just like shocked, like, you know, because for some people they think like drag can't be something that interacts with kids. And this is happening so naturally, so authentically, so full of raw joy. And so, yeah, this project has brought on a lot of how joy can be that resistance and taking up space, because the truth is, San Francisco is a special place. You can't, there's not a lot of places in the world that I can go dress like this, dance and do drag on the streets and feel safe enough to do that. And me making sure that I continue to do that here, I think is really important, and yeah, continues to bring joy.
Yeah. Shane, I'm gonna stick with you for a little bit. Absolutely. It's really comforting to live in a place where you can go out and see that on a random Tuesday or what have you, and that's just a part of your day to day. I think that's really special. And as you said, Shane, in our conversations, you talked about the Bay Area and San Francisco being a beacon of light. And you talked about the notion of creation and how the more that we create, even in our own circles and our creations, even our existence becomes a form of resistance. And you talked about the Bay Area being that beacon of light and being a place where all art is valid and necessary. How do we keep it safe for the weirdos and for everyone to experience that same self-actualization that you did? What do institutions like the opera need to do? What do we as a community need to do to make sure that that weirdness sticks?
Right now, I think what everybody needs to do is recognize the moments that weirdness, that queer moment, that ability to have these memories among community, or see your first drag show, kiss your first boyfriend, whatever it might be. That is not granted, and San Francisco is a place that, while it exists here, you have to fight for it, and you have to ensure that, you know, the organizations, the elected officials, make a commitment to keeping San Francisco a safe place for us, because there is a shift happening right now. It's not a secret that there are people in the city that would prefer that people like us are not here. We might not see it as often, but it's there. And, you know, I think the more that we actively fight to keep our spaces, fund organizations that protect community, remind our elected officials that so many people that came before us fought for this weirdness, whether it's folks who died during the AIDS epidemic, whether it's folks who, you know, really made a landmark of San Francisco that people from so far away didn't know anything, but they knew if they bought a bus ticket to San Francisco that they might have an opportunity to be themselves. People are still doing that today, and I think it's not something that's granted. So my ask to people is to find ways to fight for it, whether it's making sure that the people you work around you, management, keeps their commitment to queer community, that there are conversations that are actually happening. It's not slapping the rainbow on a window and calling it a day. And that this is an ongoing conversation throughout the year, and especially now, because there are people who know that San Francisco is that haven and they're coming for it. And I feel this sense of calling to stand up, remind again our local elected officials what they signed up for. This is San Francisco, and it's, you know, I'm gonna keep it weird. I'm gonna keep dancing, so they better be ready.
Absolutely, amen. Suzanne, hearing Shane, what you spoke about, I hear a lot about the necessity of like big, like sometimes agitation, being really loud and present, big things like pride, being really active in the legislative space, but also equally important, Suzanne, are smaller, more intimate moments too. And you've shared very touchingly about the meaning of visibility and representation and coming to a place like the opera. What does it mean to show up in places like this, to be able to be yourself? If that's a part of what we want to hold on to.
Yeah, I mean, even walking down here, I was like, how did that kid who portrayed a little boy in Owensboro, Kentucky get here? I mean, looking up there, it's so special. When I came out, one of the first times I went out and tried to really look pretty, a gay friend of mine asked me to the opera, and we went to Madame Butterfly here. And I'll never, I had a long black dress, and I probably didn't look that good, but I felt that good. And the whole night was magical, and I felt like it gave me an opportunity to really be in this space and be me. And it was so far away from what I grew up in. And I love that San Francisco has this place, for a lot of us don't grow up in going to the opera. We don't grow up with a family that educated us like that. But to have a place that you know is magical, and if you could just get there, like Shane was talking about, maybe you could have a fabulous life that you would get to go to the opera. I mean, now getting to sit here in this chair, like it's like very surreal that it would happen. And I love San Francisco. I love our connection to people in the arts at San Francisco Pride. And it is important that we give individuals those opportunities to see themselves in a bigger way than what they thought their life would be.
Just a few more moments here, but something that you said about the Opera House and a place of gathering, I think, and Shane, you've talked about this too, as we've talked about Pride, we think a lot about the Opera House as a commons or a town square where people come together to talk about ideas. We explore the human experience through the art that we portray on our stage, and the point isn't to all agree on it. And Shane, you talked about Pride and art and all of that sort of being a container to hold conflict in a loving way. And I just love to hear from you, because you also talked about how Pride isn't a moment where we're all just getting along and agreeing with each other. There's tensions that are inherent in it. And Suzanne, I know you have to balance the tension of art and visibility and representation and commodification. So in this last moment, can you talk about being together in our difference?
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco Pride, it belongs to everybody. It belongs to straight allies in the Bay Area that will tell you they'll be on Market Street. In our community, I always know our job at San Francisco Pride is to make sure that the platform survives. It's a free gathering. It's one of the last free large prides in the world. And the model for doing that puts us in some weird places. We have conversations, you know, across the street over there in City Hall. We have conversations with large corporations to make sure that we can fund those stages over there at the celebration, which include the Solo Pride. Bates will have a stage this year. There's the Trans Pavilion, API, Latinx stage, the youth stage, just the women's stage. But all those people don't necessarily get along. What we hope they do is suspend that for Pride Weekend. And I've been saying, I hope we just rally around one thing. If you woke up this morning and before you said or did anything, if the color of your skin, where you're from, what gender identity you are, or who you love, cause a large section of this country to hate you, then we have a lot in common. And I think the differences are good. I don't ever want to be part of an LGBTQ community that agrees on everything. I just wish we would support each other when we have a common goal, but maybe we use different methods, maybe not criticize each other so much for the methods we employ to get to liberation, which would should be all of our goal.
I think with conflict within community, it's hard. You know, I'm somebody who, my job is I work for the Office of Transgender Initiatives, and I go to different city departments and I educate people on trans experiences and talk about my own personal story. And sometimes, like, this is very vulnerable to say, like, sometimes I'm comfortable in that because I know if I'm interacting directly with community, there's a lot of room for attention or a lot of room for criticism, and it shouldn't feel like that. I think sometimes that's in my own head, I'll be very honest. I don't think that that's how it is. I've actually, over the years, have met some incredible trans people, and especially now I'm in the Compton's Cafeteria Riot Play, and there's a wonderful cast of people who are trans in there, and just seeing how much we have in common. But all to say, you know, sometimes you have to deal with conflict head front, right? I've had conflict with friends, some friends who are in this audience right now. And it's a good thing. It's the thing that's brought us closer, like knowing that we're human. We might not see eye to eye on everything, but even when you find common ground, at least within community, like I think we're in a time that the more we're at each other, the more likely that people who are targeting us as a whole are gonna have an opportunity to actually do that. So, you know, just finding ways, again, if it's not that you agree on everything, finding ways to be cordial, finding ways to stick with how you feel in what's right to, you know, make the changes or support the community. But yeah, I think it is important that we come together because it's just that time, right? What a wild time we're all seeing. And yeah, I'm holding the people that I love really close to me. And yeah, just trying to get through.
Yes, I think it's a great moment to be together and feel all of that togetherness in all of our difference. I want to thank Shane and Suzanne for joining us this evening. Let's give them a round of applause. And as Shane and Suzanne alluded to, it really takes a community. So I also want to shout out our community partners. San Francisco Opera had the privilege and honor of working with some incredible organizations. So tonight on the grand tier level on the north side of the building, you can see an installation featuring some panels from the AIDS quilt. There is an installation by the GLBT Historical Society that highlights some trans and femme figures from our history. We also have an altar of remembrance outside on the front steps of the Opera House that was created by the Marigold Project, where you can write a message of remembrance for a loved one or someone from the community that you hold in your heart. And they also created the Marble Table Lobby display. And we're also very grateful to the Tenderloin Museum, who is the producer of Compton's Cafeteria Riot.
Our
favorite. I hope you all have a chance to go out and see that revival. And we just really hope that you take with you this evening the joy of the moment and carry that with you as we brace ourselves and continue forward with what we face and do it with joy and love in our hearts. Thank you so much for being here this evening.